facing the judge. I'm Melissa Patrick. A 19-year-old man changed his plea and received his sentence last week in Holmes County Common Pleas Court. Last Wednesday, Cameron Shetler appeared before Holmes County Common Pleas Court Judge Sean Warner via video conference from the Holmes County Jail to make a change of plea to guilty for his fifth-degree felony charge of theft stemming from an October 17th e-bike theft. The e-bike was valued at over $1,000, which makes it a felony offense. Judge Warner would share the plea agreement that the state had made with Shetler.
The state is also willing to enter into a joint sentencing recommendation of 120 days in jail and dismissal of the Holmes County Municipal Court case 25 CRB 239.
He reminded Shetler that as the judge, he doesn't have to take the joint sentencing recommendation and can sentence him as he sees fit. And he let him know of the punishment he could face. Shetler's attorney, Jeff Kellogg, would take a moment to speak to the court on Shetler's behalf, saying that the incident happened just 4 months shy of Shetler's 19th birthday and that Shetler had been respectful and shown remorse through the whole process, and this was just youthful foolishness.
He faces challenges. He is homeless. I did refer, and I will give him contact information for 612. He had been involved in some of the social work agencies, as well as Herschel and Charity down at the coffee shop prior to this happening. And I know they did help him a little while he was in jail. I guess I sum up by telling the court that he's ashamed and embarrassed by his actions. And he faces challenges. I sincerely hope, and I believe that he's learned a lesson from this and doesn't want to be in jail again. I don't believe you'll see him again. But he was a good client, and a lot of times he doesn't use drugs, isn't involved in those things, so I didn't deal with those kind of issues.
Prosecuting attorney Matt Music would have a chance to speak for the state, and he would say that Shetler was very forthcoming with law enforcement.
I hope Mr. Kellogg is correct that this was a lapse in judgment due to his relatively young age. And I hope this has been a good lesson for him that this is not a place that you want to be moving forward. And this is the way you want to spend your time as an adult, because things can get much worse from here on out. Jail is one step and prison is an entire different animal. So I hope that this has been a good educational point, and I just hope moving forward that he'll make better decisions.
Judge Warner said that he was going to take the joint recommended sentencing of 120 days in jail and that Shetler already had 102 days of jail time served, so it won't be long until he gets out.
And I do understand Mr. Kellogg's point, and acknowledged also by Prosecutor Music, you're a young man, and you know people tend to, in their lifetime, make their bigger mistakes when they're young and then learn from those experiences and you know avoid the, as Mr. Kellogg referred to it, the embarrassment that comes with some of those mistakes. So I hope that you didn't enjoy your stay in jail, and I hope you don't enjoy the next 18 days in there, and that will motivate you going forward to maybe think a tick before you know make an impulsive decision like that and put people out, you know, that as far as people that own the property, as well as law enforcement, the time and resources to track you down and bring you to justice. So I do want to wish you well in the future and hope you make good decisions for yourself. And I hope you do take advantage of some of the things that the resources that Mr. Kellogg has pointed you to.
Judge Warner would also let Shetler know that he would need to pay for the cost of prosecution, and he would remain in the custody of the Holmes County Sheriff at the jail to fulfill the rest of his term. A Coshocton woman came before Judge Sean Warner in Holmes County Common Pleas Court for disposition last week. Amanda Reicheldorfer appeared before Judge Warner on Thursday for disposition after the defendant admitted to a violation of her community control. Her attorney, Jeff Kellogg, had the opportunity to speak on her behalf, saying that while he wasn't a part of the case in the very beginning, since he's been a part of this time, he's focused on it. He says that she originally got in trouble for counterfeiting.
This involved passing of two counterfeit $20 bills. The counterfeit bills were marked, and what it, as far as local businesses or the people that were harmed, it amounted to $40. Counterfeiting is a felony because counterfeit money undermines control of the money supply, and harms everybody when it's floating around in circulation. My client entered a plea to both counts.
He would go on to discuss the multiple times of failed drug tests while on community control.
My client, while I've represented her, has engaged in some counseling, has had some medical issues. I think some of the problems she's facing are far too complicated for us to address in the short time that I get to represent her. I recognize a tremendous psychological and emotional aversion to incarceration. I know that begs the question as to why you don't take the steps to avoid that when you have the opportunity. What hasn't happened since my client's been on probation is that she has not committed any new offenses after being placed on probation here. I think there's issues that could have been addressed through community control. I think the chief probation officer would agree that in order for the probation department to help her, she needs to be honest about the issues. I don't know if a person can necessarily be honest about the issues if they struggle with being honest with themselves.
Kellogg shared that Reicheldorfer has ailing parents and her car is not working, so she's using theirs, and he would ask the court to count the days that she has spent in jail as her jail time. Reicheldorfer says that she's taking the situation seriously and has been trying to comply but had difficulties because of barriers in transportation, distance away, family care obligations, and her own health. She says that she has completed 19 months of community control and jail time served.
If the court is inclined to impose any jail sanction, I respectfully ask that it be deemed satisfied by the time I have already served. Also adding that I would ask the court to please consider that additional time would seriously disrupt my mental health stability and my family responsibilities. I do not believe further incarceration would serve a constructive purpose. And for all these reasons, I respectfully ask the court to turn incarceration today without any additional sanction. Thank you, Donna.
Assistant Prosecuting Attorney John Hammers confirmed that the state is taking no position. Judge Warner would also have Chief Probation Officer Dominic Palmucci share some details on the case and how she's reported since her admission to her violation February 9th, where he would confirm there weren't any false positives. She would also miss because she claimed she had COVID, even though she was told to come anyway and use a mask and proper social distancing.
On March 9th, she claimed transportation issues. She claimed that she was still doing telehealth, denied wanting in-person treatment services, which we weren't mandating at that point in time. On March 16th, she came in person. She was asked to test. She claimed she was unable to provide a urine sample. She said that she could wait in probation. Probation advised her that she needed to continue to stay, though, after a period of time. She chose that she was not going to test, which we confirmed with her was essentially a refusal. She was aware of that. She was made aware that the court would be aware of her choice and that this wouldn't look good, obviously, at the time of disposition. She stated again that she wasn't going to stay, and she left the probation department without providing a urine sample. And that was, like I said, March 16th. We have not talked with her since.
Judge Warner would ask Palmucci if he felt Reicheldorfer was okay for community control, and he would say no. Then Judge Warner would ask how much time she had served, which was 35 days jail time credit. Judge Warner would then address Reicheldorfer.
Your position just isn't credible as to your ability to report, because none of the violations other than the July one, which you didn't admit to, have anything to do with you reporting. And I don't believe that you didn't report on that one because you couldn't. You found out that Chief Palmucci was there and you were going to be arrested, which is why you did not report. Every other either administrative sanction or actual motion to terminate your community control has to do with you testing positive or fleeing the courthouse or refusing to submit. So you sat here and you've refused to, even though your attorney has, you haven't said one thing about a serious drug addiction problem. So I don't believe that you're unable to report. You're just simply unwilling, and you're willing to go to great lengths to cause a lot of work for other people when you could simply report and test cleanly, and you probably would be close to being done with probation at this point.
Judge Warner would then revoke her community control and sentence her to 125 days in jail with 35 days credit. She would be remanded to the custody of the Holmes County Sheriff to be taken to the jail. The Holmes County Sheriff reported for yesterday and Saturday 2 accidents, 16 incidents, and these 3 arrests. Thomas Windsor Beach of Dover, who is arrested and charged with theft. Mackenzie Lynn Wolf of Brinkhaven, who is arrested and charged with falsification. And Adam Anthony Jason Roberts of Millersburg, who is arrested and charged with theft. The Millersburg Police Department reported for March 23rd through the 29th, 3 accidents and 29 incidents. The National Weather Service has confirmed 3 tornadoes in Ohio on Thursday. Officials say an EF1 tornado hit south of Kenton at the Hardin County Fairgrounds, causing roof damage, downed power poles, and damage to a barn. In Morrow County, an EF1 tornado touched down near Mount Gilead, snapping trees and destroying a large outbuilding along State Route 95. A brief EF0 tornado touched down southwest of Fredericktown in Knox County and damaged a barn roof. No injuries were reported from any of the tornadoes Thursday night, and that brings the year's tornado total to 6, including 3 from March 11th. Still no verdict in the FirstEnergy corruption trial that, after deliberations, hit a snag when 2 documents showed up in the jury room that shouldn't have been there. The documents were accidentally included with the evidence during deliberations. The judge paused proceedings after the discovery, but so far there's been no indication this has compromised the case. For more than a week, jurors have been trying to decide whether former FirstEnergy CEO Chuck Jones and former Vice President Michael Dowling are guilty of charges in the House Bill 6 bribery scandal. The jury is set to reconvene today. A former Central Ohio school principal is out of a job after being accused of violating his probation. Ty Cornute, former principal at Cornerstone Academy in New Albany, previously pleaded guilty to criminal mischief in a 2024 case involving a child in his home and was sentenced to 2 years of probation. Court records show he was back in court this week, accused of failing 2 drug tests and acting violently toward another person. After initially saying there was no change in his employment, the school confirmed Friday that Cornute has been terminated, adding they're not aware of any concerning behavior during his time there. Cornute's attorney says he maintains his innocence and looks forward to his day in court. A Henry County grand jury has indicted a man accused of intentionally starting a fire at a Napoleon hotel that killed 3 people over 30 years ago. The Napoleon Police Department and the Henry County prosecutor announced the arrest of 64-year-old William Moore following the indictment. According to court documents, Moore faces 3 counts of aggravated murder and 3 counts of murder. 6-year-old Roger Butts, 28-year-old Kevin Brown, and 20-year-old Richard Rhodes died in the fire at the Wellington Hotel in January 1992. And finally, Project Hail Mary stayed aloft in its second weekend, holding strongly with $54.5 million, adding to the long-term prospects of the year's biggest hit thus far. The Phil Lord and Chris Miller sci-fi adventure dipped only 32% after notching the best non-franchise opening weekend since 2023's Oppenheimer. Amazon MGM's Yet Project Hail Mary has grossed $300.8 million worldwide in 2 weeks, the weekend's top new release. They Will Kill You debuted with a disappointing $5 million for Warner Brothers. The gory R-rated horror film starring Zazie Beetz only cost $20 million to make, but the result suggests theaters may have become oversaturated in horror. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM.